Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty, WB5Y, in the Houston Amsat Net. Good evening, folks. QST. Okay, let's get our recording connections going here. Okay, good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WB5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1656, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March the 24th, 2026, which in UTC time is Wednesday, March the 25th, 2026, at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, WF5ACM. And thanks to Joe, WF5BSA, we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and we're also on the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also the links to the 146.7 repeater downtown and its network repeaters, and the AmSat DMR TOT group 98006. The YSF fusion is 11689. The All-Star node, 572580, when those connections are working. And there's also Echolink, and that's over at Star and Sat Star. And I will now take any check-ins. Okay, well, we're going to start with a little bit of information here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And let's see, they hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. And it's usually here locally at a local restaurant at 4:30 p.m. And then they have a meeting on the internet. And that takes place on Zoom at 8 p.m. And that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom, and we appreciate Walter doing that for us. Okay, looks like we haven't really gotten any updates from Walter as far as balloon activity since the updates on the Richardson area balloonatics. All right, we're going over to the AmSat News Service bulletins, and this is for March 15th, and this is ANS bulletin number 74. And looks like it's putting us about a week behind here, so let me see. Okay, here we are with, this is actually ANS Bulletin number 81 from March 22nd. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators to share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as their volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list, which usually works, and your bulletins will show up in your inbox. Sometimes they're a little bit late, but usually they make it. And to join the list, you just go over to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, well, looks like there are some licensing restrictions that are not permitting digital modes on FO-29. Bucci Oscar 29, FO-29, or Jazz 2, the Japanese amateur radio satellite launched in August of 1996, has entered a period of full sunlight, resulting in renewed and more frequent transponder activity. The inverting analog transponder operates with an uplink passband of 145.900 through 146 megahertz on lower sideband, and a downlink of 435.800 to 435.900 megahertz upper sideband. And it also has a CW beacon, and that's at 435.795 megahertz. Okay, the satellite's 1-watt PEP output shares across the 100 kilohertz bandwidth, making careful power management essential for all users. Although the FO-29 linear transponder is technically capable of passing narrowband digital signals such as FT8 or FT4 or PSK31 or Olivia, such operations are not permitted under the satellite's original licensing from Japanese authorities. The transponder is explicitly licensed for single sideband and CW modes only. This restriction stems from the satellite's operational permit issued by Japan's Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications, MIC, which does not authorize digital emissions on the linear transponder frequencies. Operators attempting digital modes risk non-compliance with international amateur radio etiquette and could contribute to transponder overload, distortion, or temporary shutdowns, issues exacerbated by the high-duty cycle nature of many digital signals. AMSAT urges all users to limit their operations on FO-29, single sideband, and CW, and to practice good satellite etiquette. So please use the minimum power necessary to produce a readable downlink signal. Ensure your downlink signal strength does not exceed the CW beacon level. Monitor the transponder before and during your transmission. If the beacon weakens or the passband becomes noisy, reduce power immediately and keep your signals clean and within the passband. Share the limited resource responsibly so that the maximum number of amateurs worldwide can enjoy FO-29 while it remains active.
DL-123.
With the satellite now enjoying extended full satellite operation in 2026, this is an excellent time to explore its capabilities through permitted modes. Experimentation with is discouraged to preserve the satellite's health and comply with licensing. And we want to thank JAMSAT, JARL, AMSAT, and JK2XXK for that information. Okay, the limited time offer from AMSAT is still going on. And this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Anyone getting a new or renewing membership of their AMSAT membership, well, they get a free digital copy of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites, the guide. The promotion that's being offered as AMSAT begins the 2026 membership year. Anyone who joins or renews their AMSAT membership during the promotional period will receive a download link for the latest edition of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites in their membership confirmation email. So join today at launch.amsat.org. And remember, students join for free. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. 10 Code 2 satellite with linear transponder, we have an update. The 6U CubeSat 10 Code 2, also written as a little bit differently without the dash, 10 Code dash 2, instead of 10 dash code space 2. From Japan's Nihon University was successfully deployed into orbit on March 11, 2026 at approximately 9:34 UTC. The satellite was released from JAXA's new HTV-X1 cargo spacecraft using the HTV-X Small Satellite Orbital Deployer, or the H-SSOD. After the vehicle departed from the International Space Station, from the ISS, on March the 6th, and raised its altitude to around 500 kilometers. This marks the first use of the H-SSOD mechanism for satellite deployment from HTV-X. Developed by the Yoko Okayama in the Department of Aerospace Engineering at Nihon University's College of Science and Technology, 10CO2 builds on the legacy of its predecessor, 10CO, launched in 2018. The mission focuses on low Earth orbit environmental observations to gather data for future space development, alongside in-orbit demonstrations of next-generation communication technologies. Key goals include evaluating high-speed data transmission and enabling global access for amateur radio operators to collect telemetry and experiment with the payloads. satellite carries an amateur radio payload coordinated by the International Radio Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, and supported by JAMSAT, the Japanese Amateur Satellite Association. And it's got a VU linear transponder inverting with a 40 kilohertz bandwidth. The uplink is on WE's lower sideband. It's on 145.895 through 145.935 megahertz. And then the downlink, where you listen, it's on upper sideband, and that's on 435.875 megahertz through 435.915 megahertz. And then additionally, some downlinks and experiments, the CW beacon, the Digitalker, the AFSK 1.2 kilobit per second GMSK up to 19.2 kilobit per second. It's all on 435.860 megahertz. Okay, the high-speed experiment, the GMSK from 4.8 to 19.2 kilobits per second, or 4FSK 38.4 kilobits per second, and photo picture downlinks, they're on 435.895 megahertz. There's a 5.839 gigahertz CW beacon for microwave band communication demos. Oh, and SHF experimenters take note, this provides a great target for testing dishes, feeds, and your LNAs. Transponder is expected to operate on a scheduled basis, initially 2 days per week, with details forthcoming from the team. Operations began shortly after deployment, with the university's ground station confirming reception of the CW beacon for basic telemetry, which is like voltage, temperature, etc., stuff like that. Post-deployment updates from the Okayama lab indicate the signal level is currently weaker than anticipated, prompting ongoing monitoring and appeals for reception reports via networks like SatNOS to aid diagnostics and performance assessment. Early passes over Japan and other regions have yielded mixed results, with some operators reporting no signals yet. Tenco 2 currently only transmits very weak CW data, and that's on 435.860 megahertz. And you can find Tenco 2 Keplerian data, the TLEs, available in the regular satellite catalog under catalog number 68261. And we will thank the Okayama Laboratory at Nihon University and Nico Jansen, PA0DLO, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Let's take a stand by here and take a look and see who's been checking into the net. All right, so let's see. We've got the right spot here. We've got Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, so we appreciate Dale doing that for us. And we got Vern, WD0RCR, out there in Winston, Missouri, and he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band there during the weekend. And Kai in 6ZZO is out there in McKinleyville, California. And he's one of our podcast listeners who calls and checks in. And he's reminded us that the podcasts haven't actually been ready every week. I guess once or twice they've been a little bit late here and maybe didn't show up till the next week. But I know Bruce is working on that. So hopefully it'll get a little bit better. But we appreciate letting us know about that there, Kai. And I hope you're doing good up there in McKinleyville, California.
DL-123.
Okay, we've got from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and thanks for the welcome back there, Clay. Yep, things are working so good so far this evening, pretty good. And we will say hi to Rachie. And then we got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, let's see. From Echolink, we've got an update. First of all, we've got from David, M8SGZ, and he says his first phone, QSO or QSL, was on FO29, and that was back in 2013. So, there's a user, good user of FO29 right there, and we appreciate us letting us know about that information there. Okay, well, say good evening and welcome. You're checked in to Janet Gardner, KF4JIG. Welcome aboard. Hello to Mitch, AD0HJ. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, there's a Wednesday night AMSAT.net that folks can take, can check in on and participate. And that takes place on DMR, and that's on the AMSAT DMR Talk Group 98006, or, excuse me, YSF Fusion 11689, the All-Star node, let's see, 580, let's see, what was that? Let's see, that's 572-580. Okay, it's the All-Star node. Okay, well, let's see. We got check-ins from Echolink. The rest of them here. Let's see, we've got... Hello, Steve, KK5YFC. Bruce, KK5DO. He's up there in Roman Forest. Good evening. We got Dave, WB7DRU. He's up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. Of course, it's been many years now that Dave's been checking in with us. Hello to Andrew, KC5LWI, and he's down there in Galveston, Texas. And I hope he's doing good down there. I think the fog is back. We have Damien, AG9P. Good evening, Damien, and he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT.net. I want to remind everybody you can make a quick phone check-in to the Houston AMSAT.net by calling 713-467-9870. You can check in via APRS, and that's by sending an APRS message to WV5Y with no dashes and no numbers, or West Virginia 5 Yankees, Andy is like to say. And then you can also send an email, that's to WV5Y@comcast.net. Okay, the 2026 AMSAT President's Club coin are here. You can help support Golf Tee and the Fox Plus projects. The annual membership starts at only $120. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And that's just by going over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-president-club. All right, for those who might be getting ready to try and track the CatSat's 10 gigahertz beacon, be advised that it is not always on. The University of Arizona team has a webpage set up to allow requests for activation of either the beacon on 10.47 gigahertz or linear transponder, and it's C/X at 5.663/10.47 gigahertz. And we got a link for you. It's a big long one, so you should just go over to amsatnet.com and use that link there. Bruce has put on the front page and get to the CatSat request for activation link. Once you've submitted your request, if it's possible, you can see it scheduled on their calendar page, and that's located over at catsat.arizona.edu/calendar. And we want to thank Mike Seguin, N1JEZ, for that information.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, you need your satellite antennas? Well, you can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store, and they got it worked out. Well, if you do, then you get a little bit of a discount there from M2, and when you purchase new AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And you can just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, let's see, we're running a couple of minutes before our regular time, but we're going to go ahead and jump in and see if we have any local check-ins or any other check-ins to the Houston AMSAT net. So, this is Marty, WV5Y, and any check-ins to the Houston AMSAT net, come now. Alright, well, a SpaceX plan for 1 million centers poses a dangerous risk. SpaceX has a plan for 1 million orbital data centers, and it proposes a massive constellation of sunlit objects that could severely impair ground-based astronomy and increase atmospheric pollution through frequent re-entries in the upper atmosphere. Astronomers warn that these 100-meter-long structures will remain illuminated even at midnight. This constant visibility threatens observations at ground-based observatories such as the Vera Rubin Observatory
and the extremely large telescope currently under construction in Chile. These orbital data centers, potentially 100 meters long, create persistent light streaks that obstruct astronomical research. Positioned in high inclination orbits at 500 to 2,000 kilometers, they remain illuminated by sunlight even at midnight, significantly outshining traditional broadband satellites. Astronomers have filed formal objections with the FCC regarding the January 30th application. This new constellation poses a challenge unlike any encountered in the commercial space era under years of progress. Further, this much hardware results in one spacecraft burning up in the atmosphere every 3 minutes. This mass incineration releases dangerous concentrations of aluminum oxide and lithium, potentially depleting the protective ozone layer and altering global temperatures. Environmental experts highlight risks, but the FCC's fast-track approval process bypasses standard environmental reviews, placing the burden of proof on the scientific community to prevent damage. Okay, ANS thanks NASA Space News for that information. You can read the full article over at nasaspacenews.com/2026/03/SpaceX-Plan-4-1-Million. And I'm sure it's on that list of URLs that Bruce has for you over there at AmSatNet.com. All right, coming in 2026 is the SDR Gen 2. It's going to be a versatile GNU radio-based transmitter/transceiver. It's going to cover from 144 megahertz to 6 gigahertz continuous coverage. Direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band operations. Upconversion to 5 and dime capability, which means it will cover 5 and 10 gigahertz. All modes, CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, all kinds of modes, for a minimum downlink data rate of 1 millisecond or milliscan per second. Or millislice per second, depending on how you want to read that. Okay, you can build to fly on the Fox Plus and the Golf missions. And it's going to come from the AmSat engineers that are keeping amateur radio in space and the Ascent, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. All right, looks like we do have a change to the AmSat PLE distribution for March the 20th, 2026. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And the new TINCO 2 has been added under its own NORAD catalog ID, and that's 68261. And we'll thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, Amsat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, the Amsat Remove Before Flight T-Tags are available. And yes, they are the real thing. And they're lovely red with white embroidered lettering and logo. And your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. And it includes the first class postage, but it's only for those in the United States. Sorry. You can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Astronauts on the ISS do a complete prep for a new ISS solar array. Two NASA astronauts prepared the International Space Station, the ISS, for the addition of a new solar array on the first U.S. spacewalk in almost a year. Expedition 74 crewmates Jessica Meir and Chris Williams, KJ5GEW, ventured outside of the space station's Quest airlock at 1252 UTC on Wednesday, March 18th, to install a mount for an advanced power-producing solar panel. The pair worked on the left or port side of the space station's backbone truss, where they first assembled and then attached a bracket structure that will support an ISS rollout array, or IROSA, to be installed on a future spacewalk. NASA had scheduled for the IROSA kit to be installed during a spacewalk in January, but one of the then-assigned spacewalkers, Mike Fink, KE5AIT, had an undisclosed medical issue that required the excursion to be canceled, and he and his crewmates to return to Earth a month early. The space station's original solar arrays have degraded, having exceeded their 15-year service life. When all of them are in place, the new IROSAs will increase the orbiting lab's electricity supply from 20 to 30%. The additional power on the ISS will help support expanded commercial activities and the upcoming transition from the ISS to commercially operated space stations. Wednesday's spacewalk ended at 1954 UTC, 7 hours and 2 minutes after it began. And we want to thank space.com for that information. And the full article is over at www.space.com/space-exploration/international-space-station/astronauts-complete-prep-4-new-iss-solar-array-on-first, as in it's got the number one ST, dash NASA dash spacewalk dash in dash 10 dash months. All right, looks like we got down to Aries News. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And also that includes JAXA astronauts. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in to the action, it's on 145.800 megahertz worldwide. And let me tell you, sometimes those kids have some pretty good questions for those astronauts. And sometimes those astronauts have some pretty good answers for those kids. Okay, we've got recently completed from AIRS, the Lewis Center for Educational Research in Apple Valley, California. They had a telebridge conversation, question and answer session via IK1SLD. The ISS call sign was OR4ISS. The scheduled crew member was Sophie Adenot, KJ5LTN. The AIS mentor was AA6TB, and the contact was successful on Thursday, 3/19/2026, at 17:15:13 UTC. They had a 48-degree max elevation.
DL-123.
Okay, we've got, school in Luxembourg, let's see. Vaban Ecole et Lycée Français de Luxembourg in Luxembourg City, Luxembourg, direct via LX26LV. ISS call sign is scheduled to be OR4ISS with Sophie Adnott, AJ5LTN, and the AIS mentor is ON6TI. And then the contact is on Wednesday, 3/25/2026, at 15:47:34 UTC, and with a 73-degree max elevation. Okay, we've got the Amar State University in Bangladesh, Russia. They're going to have an ISS call sign conversation with RS0ISS. Scheduled crew member Andre Fediev, and the AIS mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is 3/26/2026 at 0850 UTC. Okay, we've got Mobu Ufa, Republic of Bashkortostan, Russia, and they've got a contact direct via somebody to be determined with ISS scheduled call sign R0ISS and crew member Sergei Kutshuvikov, and the AIS mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is a go on Thursday, 3/26/2026 at 13:30 UTC. All right, the Emmanuel Kant Baltic Federal University in Kaliningrad, Russia, has a contact with RS0ISS and crew member Sergei Mikeyev. And the AIS mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is 3/27/2026 at 15:50 UTC. All right, if you're around the Asnakivsky District, Republic of Tajikistan, Russia, they're going to have a contact with the scheduled call sign RS0ISS and crew member Andrei Fediev. And the AIS mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is a go on 3/30/2026 at 11:55 UTC. And then last but not least, we've got the POIC at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. They've got telebridge via IK1SLD, and the ISS call sign is scheduled to be OR4ISS, and the crew member is Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The ARIS mentor is KI5SDP, and the contact is to go for Friday, 3/27/2026 at 19:05:04 UTC with a 40-degree maximum elevation.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, the crest band repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a PL tone of 67 and 437.800 MHz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic. They can raise the volume up and they can talk on the cross band repeater. So give a listen. You just never know if an astronaut is deciding to do that. You could end up talking to them and then being able to get a QSL card for talking to an astronaut. Okay, there's still issues on 145.825 with the packet system, and it's still in the process of being troubleshooted and tested. So the packet system on 145.825 MHz is still down. And the ham TV is currently transmitting a test signal, and that's on 2395.0 MHz. As always, if there's an EVA docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And supporting progress vehicle activities, there's going to be a powering down March the 24th at 0845 UTC. And then they've got power back up March 24th at 1830 UTC. Okay, of course, that's subject to those times being changed. Okay, note, all the times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction for the times or start listening about 10 minutes before the times that we have listed. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. Okay, we want to say thanks to Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS Operation Team mentors, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. And we want to remind everybody that if you'd like to get a certificate or an award for making even your first satellite contact, well, there's information on how you can do that on our website, and that's over at www.amsatnet.com. There, thanks to Bruce, where the URLs are posted. And then he's got more of that since he is the AmSat Awards guy and on the board of directors for AmSat. So you can go over to amsat.org, and there's all kinds of great information for satellite operators. There's frequencies that the satellites operate on, and the status, whether they're working or not working, their modes that they're in. They've got all kinds of good info, and then there's info on the symposium that's going to be coming up there when they make that decision. And there's even the store, so you can even buy those M-squared satellite antennas. All right.
sure you check that out. That's once again right over at AMSAT.org. This is Marty WD5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. And related item, if you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition, well, you can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And if you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL, it's over at www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_gear. All right, we've got some AMSAT ambassador activities. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables to club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And let's see, April the 11th, 2026, we've got the Tucson Area Spring Ham Fest, and that's put on by the Radio Society of Tucson. It'll be in the Cavalry Tucson Church at 8711 East Speedway in Tucson, Arizona, 85710. And you can go over to k7rst.club URL, and you should see W1UW there working the AMSAT booth.
DL-123.
Okay, if you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, and you can be one of the ones doing those things. Excuse me, for more information, you just go over to www.amsat.org/ambassador. All right, we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Okay, SilverSat's SSDV schedule can be found over at operations.silversat.org/SSDV. And that's like SS Digital Voice. And ANS thanks the SilverSat team for that information. NASA's Moon rocket returned to the launch pad after repairs inside the vehicle assembly building at the Kennedy Space Center. The rocket's rollout to Pad 39B was completed at noon local time on March the 20th and sets up a launch attempt for the Artemis II mission no earlier than April the 1st. Okay, ANS, thanks, Spaceflight Now, for that information, and you can read the full article over at spaceflightnow.com/2026/03/19/live-coverage-NASA-2-ROLL-ITS-ISLS-rocket-back-2-the-launch-pad-ahead-of-plan-april-flight-of-artemis-2. Okay, and Prime Minister Mark Carney has announced that the Canadian government is investing $200 million towards Canada's first launch pad. The site is owned by Maritime Launch Services, a Canadian commercial space company founded in 2016
and headquartered in Halifax, Nova Scotia. The funds will be put toward a 10-year lease on the launch pad located near Canso in Nova Scotia, which is expected to finish construction by 2028. And ANS thanks Universe Today for that information, and you can read that full article at universetoday.com/articles/canada-lkh-200-million-towards-the-creation-of-nations-first-spaceport. Alright, and the Germany-wide Space Day will take place on Saturday, March 28, 2026. AMSAT-DL and the Bochum Observatory will participate with a varied program of interesting short talks and presentations on the topics of space travel, astronomy, STEM education, and amateur radio, all at the same time. An ESVRO Family Day will take place on this day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in and around the radio dome of Bochum University under the motto, Adventure Space, Fun and Interesting Facts for Young and Old Await Visitors. They can embark on a journey of discovery and immerse themselves in a world of astronomy and space travel. Okay, this is for a complete schedule. You can go to amsat-dl.org/en/bochum-space-day-march-28-2026-space-day. And we'll thank AMSAT-DL for that information. Okay, well, this was from a few days ago, but they say the JAMSAT Symposium was being held this weekend. It was March 21st to 22nd at the Japan Museum of the Future Science and Technology in Tokyo. The program began with a hands-on activity for children and continues with technical presentations and demonstrations. So we hope that went well, and we want to congratulate JAMSAT. Okay, well, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Students are eligible for free membership up to the age of 25. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. Okay, don't forget you can always contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. And we get a 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM, and that's mjohns@amsat.org. And the ANS is the service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. And they do reside at 712 H Street ME, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. Okay, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Stay nice and warm. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So keep playing with those radios. Making lots of satellite contacts. And from Andy, MB5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Melbourne 4, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston. We say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSat Net.